We were talking about this earlier, and anybody who listens to the show knows I'm deathly afraid of heights.
Yeah.
And there was a story that caught my attention. It was a roller coaster in Texas that got stuck on a 100-foot incline. Oh. 8 students were stuck in the peak position for 4 hours.
Oh, how?
And, well, how can you do it? One, but two, if you're a first responder showing up on scene, how do you manage this and get all 8 students off safely? Right now, we have Chief Mike Varela Jr., Galveston Fire Department, on. Thank you for being a firefighter and a fire chief, and thanks for coming on.
Man, I appreciate it. Thank you all. Good morning. Just to answer your question, it's challenging, right? Challenging. You got to be very meticulous. You know, you got to use a little bit of risk analysis in this thing. And ultimately, you just want to be safe in everything you do and get everyone down safely.
Well, I think the first minutes you roll up, you got to talk to someone who's designed this roller coaster or knows this roller coaster to figure out this thing isn't going to come down or it's in a locked position. Is it safe to try to get them off of this, right?
Oh, God. You know, usually on that roller coaster, there's just a lift on the side of the roller coaster, and they use it, and they get people down when it gets stuck like that. And it's not a big deal. We help them out. Unfortunately, that day, that lift had mechanical issues, and you know, everything flipped a switch in a second. And, yeah, it was a big deal.
Right. So now you have to evaluate the roller coaster and make sure that's safe.
Right, before you pull it off. Yep.
I mean, not only that, you got to get a crash course in how to unlock the seat belts on everyone, you know, where the plugs are, and there's a lot that goes into it. But yeah, it was unnerving, just especially when we knew we were going to have to make that rescue with our truck.
Have you or your people ever rescued people off of a roller coaster before?
Oh God, never at these heights. We've been out to Pleasure Pier before, and we've assisted with different little issues here and there, but nothing this magnitude.
I think this is what we take for granted with firefighters. We think they run into burning buildings to save people they never met.
Right.
But they're constantly doing these things that they've never done before.
Yeah.
You just roll up and you have minutes to figure out, how do we get these people out of this situation right now, whether it be a twisted, mangled car dangling off a bridge.
Whatever,
or 8 kids on a roller coaster 100 feet in the air.
Different scenarios.
So who do you send up there to do that?
Oh, we have a... On our tower truck, I mean, these guys are trained in high angle, low angle, confined space. 50% of our department is trained in high angle rescue. So we have a ton of people ready to go if need be.
High angle rescue. So what does that include? All right. So one, the roller coaster.
Yeah.
What else would that
be? The building?
Yeah. In any type of industrial facilities where people work in elevated structures, rescues from roofs, just things like that, wherever you have big anchor points and you have to rappel down.
Man.
Those are type of high angles we look at.
So not only do they have to be like mini engineers and all of this to figure out, okay, I got to get this thing, this harness on you before I open this contraption. I open this contraption, get you over here. But they have to be mini psychologists as well,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, psychologists, lawyers, engineers. We do it all. Jack of all trades.
How long, once you got the clearance and you knew that it was safe for your guys to go up, how many hours did it take for you to get all 8 off?
So it took us right about, I want to say, 2.5 hours to get everyone off. People forget to evacuate that pier. It's the last day of school for us. It took about a little bit over an hour just to evacuate the pier. So it took some time. And then, of course, once we evacuated the pier, the setup process, the planning phase, you know, it was all expedited, but it takes time.
Did you grab them one by one? Like, because I saw, you know, the size of the top of the ladder, not much room over there. So you'd like take one down and bring them all the way down to go back up for the second one, like type of thing?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Wow. And I'll tell you this, just because of the angle they were at, whenever we took them off one by one, you have to realize their legs were numb and they couldn't walk. So it took some time. We had to get them in the basket, get the blood flowing again, get them up the courage to walk down a 100-foot ladder. So
they had to go down the ladder.
I forgot about that part. That to me would be more terrifying than being strapped in that chair.
Yeah, I'll stay up here. We're good.
And that was a strategy we had to use just because I didn't want so many moving parts that day. I didn't want the basket going up and down, up and down, just because at the angle we were at was so critical. We didn't want to ruin whatever we didn't want a lot of moving parts in this.
Oh, man.
Wow.
So, right, their legs are, you know, I just sit in this chair for too long and my feet fall asleep.
Yep, exactly.
You know, so here they
climb down a 100-foot ladder. You know,
right, they're like, they're on their back for, you know, 2.5-3 hours, and it's like, now you're going to go down a 100-foot ladder.
I would freeze.
Do they have, like, harnesses or straps on while they were going down the ladder?
Yes, they had a safety line as they were going down.
Man,
still couldn't do it.
I couldn't do it. See, here's the thing, Chief, you should have in your kit for people like me. You need some kind of a dart to just put me to sleep. Yeah, because I'm going to be screaming and scaring everyone else and unnerving everyone. So just like a dart to put me out.
Right. Night.
Yeah, I'm writing that down right now. Tranquilizer. If I ever go up there.
Right. Yeah. And then just lower him with a rope.
Oh, my God.
Like some kind of cargo.
So everyone got down. It took about 4 hours. And they're all fine, right? They went to the hospital and everything checked out.
Everything's good. Yeah, they're all good.
Man, unbelievable. Great job to you.
Yeah.
Man, it was. I'm telling you, it's one of the most dangerous rescues we've ever pulled off here.
I wouldn't doubt it.
So it's one of them. What's the another one that comes to mind?
You know, anytime we rescue somebody from a burning building is always a big deal. Don't get me wrong.
That's time sensitive, right? Yeah, you're not like... you're not having a big meeting downstairs about that.
Yeah, it can't be leisurely. It's got to be like now.
But, you know, I know it sounds weird, but we're always ready for that. We're good at search and rescue. We also train on high risk events that are low frequency, like this one right here, high angle rescues. You know, most people will train their whole 30-year career and never do one. So that's the stuff we really have to train on.
Would you go on this roller coaster yourself?
I've been on it.
Oh, have you?
Before.
Okay.
This is a brilliant answer because he's like, I've been on it.
Right.
Once. But now after this.
I'm good.
I think I'm good.
Kinda,
I'm kind of roller coastered out right now. Yeah. So.
I hear you. Maybe next summer.
That's great.
No, of course. No, I'll get back on it.
No way.
All right, so there was one part in this rescue where I think it was a news media helicopter was flying close. Let me play this for you.
We're trying to keep our distance because, you know, we're loud, and we want to make sure that the firefighters are able to talk to the passengers on this ride, the Ferris wheel down here toward the end.
Isn't this the worst thing ever?
Why are you there, like, then?
All right, so all they're doing is just blowing wind around and making noise.
Yeah, there was only one. One helicopter that got kind of too close, and I had to let police know to make sure they were. They ended up grounding them, but everyone else was pretty. You know, they were good.
Just a lot to manage.
Yeah, we're kind of busy right now.
A lot to manage, and you would think that they would know better.
Yeah.
You know?
Why give us an additional thing that we need to handle now?
Here's another obstacle, another issue, wind and noise.
Yeah. I don't want to divide my attention further.
Right. Did you have a problem with drones, or is that becoming a problem for you now as you firefight, people showing up with drones?
All the time.
Yeah.
Oh.
But we try to use them. Hey, if you're going to have a drone, let's look and see what you got.
Okay. What do you think of the New York Knicks?
Oh, I think this is going to be a good series.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're good, you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Chief, thank you so much for coming.
What do you think about them? I'm like, what do you think about them?
We're loving them right now.
We're ecstatic.
It's been a long time coming.
It hadn't been a long time for San Antonio, but I'm telling you, this is going to be a good series.
Nice.
Yeah. Everyone's going to get their money's worth.
Yep.
Good deal.
Yeah. Can we get you to say go Knicks?
Oh. Well, let's not go too crazy here today, y'all. We came here to talk about the rescue.
You know, it's funny. He rolled up on this roller coaster rescue. He was not a short for words.
Yeah, no.
This, he's right. Like, I don't know what to say here.
This part's awkward.
Yeah. How do I manage this emergency?
Right. This is worse.
Chief Varela Jr., Galveston Fire Department, thanks for coming on. Great job to you and your people.
Yes.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. Thank y'all for reaching out.
Thank you.
Thank you.